Chapter 3. Homesick. I give my lodgers dinner every evening except Sunday, when you have to make your own, Mrs. Keogh said. But you're not to leave the kitchen untidy. Eilish was sitting at the dinner table with Mrs. Keogh, who owned the boarding house in Brooklyn, and the five other young women who lived there. There were three Irish women, Sheila Heffernan and Miss McAdam, who complained about everything, and Miss Keegan, who lived in the basement and never said much. Then there were two younger Irish-American women, Patty and Diana, who were best friends. The two Americans talked a lot and laughed at everything, which Miss McAdam found very annoying. You're not to use the telephone or give the number to anyone. I don't take messages for my lodgers, Mrs. Keogh continued to Eilish. And please don't leave all your things around the bathroom like the other girls do, Miss McAdam said. Mrs. Keogh was from Wexford, just a few miles from Enniscorthy, and wanted to talk to Eilish about home. The rest of the conversation was about clothes and shoes, but Miss McAdam and Miss Keegan did not join in. Eilish listened and thought about how to describe the boarding house when she wrote to her mother and Rose. On Eilish's first day at work, Father Flood took her to Bartocci's and introduced her to Elisabetta Bartocci, the owner's daughter. Eilish thought that she was the best-dressed woman that she had ever seen, in her smart red suit, white blouse and red shoes. Then Miss Fortini, Eilish's manager, came to take her into the store and teach her what to do. We welcome everyone who comes here, Miss Fortini said. They all have money to spend. If people like it here, they'll come back. So be friendly and give everyone a smile. The work was easy, and the days passed quickly because Eilish was always busy. She wrote several times to her mother and Rose, and once to Jack. There was always plenty to tell them about her job and life at Mrs. Keogh's boarding house. Every evening, as soon as she got back from work, Eilish checked the side table in the kitchen where Mrs. Keogh put their letters, but still nothing arrived for her. One morning, after she had been at Bartocci's for 3 weeks, Eilish saw big signs in the windows as she arrived for work, saying, Famous Nylon Sale. Eilish had not known that the store planned to have a sale in October. Mr. Bartocci always keeps it a surprise, Miss Fortini told her. There'll be the biggest crowd that you've ever seen because everything nylon is half price, even the stockings. You can buy four things in the sale for yourself too. Miss Fortini was right about the crowd. Half an hour after opening, there was a long line outside the shop. Inside, it was the hottest, loudest and busiest place that Eilish had ever seen. Most women bought three or four pairs of stockings and nylon sweaters and cardigans in every possible colour. Eilish only had time at the end of the day to choose four pairs of stockings, one each for Mrs. Keogh, Rose, her mother and herself. That evening, Mrs. Keogh, Patty and Diana were excited to hear about Bartocci's famous nylon sale and asked Eilish all about it. They could not believe that the sale was a surprise, even to Eilish who worked there. It was only much later after dinner that Eilish noticed the three letters for her in the kitchen. With all the conversation about the nylon sale, she had forgotten to check the side table when she got in. She quickly picked up the letters, which she could see were from her mother, Rose, and Jack, and took them upstairs to her room. She opened her mother's letter first, and then Jack's, saving Rose's till last. None of the letters had any special news. Jack's was very short. Her mother just wrote about who she had met in Enniscorthy, and Rose wrote about the golf club and work, and how quiet the town was. But as Eilish read the letters again and again, She forgot for a moment where she was. She could picture her mother and Rose at home writing the letters. She could picture the house, her own room, the quiet streets. Remembering everything felt like a terrible weight pressing down on her, and for a second, she thought that she might cry. It was like the time that her father had died, when she realized that she would never be able to talk to him again. She was nobody in Brooklyn. She belonged to nobody here, and nothing belonged to her. Nothing meant anything. But home was real and solid. It was part of her. She closed her eyes and tried to think of something that she was looking forward to. But there was nothing. In the morning, she woke early, feeling that instead of sleeping, she had lived in unhappy dreams about home. She got up and left the house very quietly, not wanting to meet any of the other lodgers. She would sit in a diner for an hour and then go to work early. But in the diner, all she could think about was the beach near Enniscorthy and its soft sand. "Are you all right?" asked a waiter, who had suddenly appeared at her side. She did not answer him, but tried to smile and ordered a coffee and a sandwich.
"Don't look so sad. Give me a smile," the waiter said cheerfully.
A few of the other customers looked at her, and she knew that this time she could not hold back the tears. She ran out of the diner before anyone could say anything else to her. At work, she felt that Miss Fortini was looking at her more than usual. Eilish tried not to think about everything that she had lost, or about the long night alone in a room that did not belong to her.
"You don't look well," Miss Fortini said.
Eilish could feel her eyes filling with tears.
"Why don't you go downstairs and have a glass of water, and I'll be down in a minute," Miss Fortini told her. Eilish did as she said. "Now, Eilish, you'll have to tell me what's wrong," Miss Fortini said when she came. "Are you sad?"
"Yes," Eilish whispered.
"But you were happy last week."
"I got some letters from home."
"Was it bad news?"
"No."
"Have you been out of Ireland before?"
Eilish shook her head. Miss Fortini looked at her.
"I'll speak to Miss Bartocci and Father Flood, and we'll do what we can for you."
She left the room, and after a while came back with a sandwich and Father Flood.
"I hear that there's trouble,"
Father Flood said kindly when Miss Fortini was gone.
"I was all right until I got the letters from home," Eilish said.
"You're homesick, that's all. Everybody gets it, and there's nothing harder," he said. "But it passes. You need someone to talk to and to keep busy. I can put your name down for evening classes in bookkeeping at Brooklyn College. Now, Miss Bartocci says that you're to go home, but be back in the morning with a big smile."
After dinner that evening, Mrs. Keogh asked Eilish into her private sitting room because Father Flood had come to visit. Mrs. Keogh made them tea and then left them alone.
"I went to Brooklyn College and told them how clever you are,"
Father Flood said cheerfully.
"I've got you into the evening class in bookkeeping and accountancy. It's Monday to Thursday from 7 until 10, and the first term is paid for. If you do it for 2 years and pass all the exams, there isn't an office in New York that won't want you."
Eilish tried to smile.
"Are you sure?"
"You'll make a great accountant," he said. "But you have to study first, and no more tears."
"No more tears," Eilish agreed.
Eilish started her classes at Brooklyn College, and in her letters to her mother and Rose, she wrote about the teacher, Mr. Rosenblum, and the other students. As the weather turned colder, she began to think about Christmas. Then, in late November, she received a letter from Father Flood asking for her help. Every Christmas Day, he served dinner in the church hall to people who did not have anywhere else to go, and he needed help. Eilish tried to picture Christmas Day at Mrs. Keogh's and immediately wrote back to Father Flood, agreeing to help. In the weeks before Christmas, Eilish bought watches to send to her brothers in England, and a beautiful wool cardigan each for her mother and Rose. After Brooklyn College closed for 2 weeks' holiday, Miss Fortini asked Eilish to work late in the evenings because the store was so busy. On Christmas Eve, Eilish went to midnight mass with Mrs. Keogh and Miss Keegan, and by 9 o'clock on Christmas morning, she was in the church hall. Father Flood introduced her to the other women helpers.
"We're expecting about 200 for dinner," Father Flood said. "There'll be turkey, of course, and Christmas pudding."
"Are they all Irish?" Eilish asked.
"Yes, and almost all are men. They came here to build the tunnels and the bridges and the highways," Father Flood explained. "Some of them have been here for 50 years and never go home to Ireland."
For the next few hours, Eilish was busy cutting up vegetables, making soup and laying the tables. Then the men arrived, and more women helpers brought hot turkeys and roast potatoes. Eilish put food onto plates and carried them to the men at the tables, who sat quietly drinking beer. When they had come in, they had just looked to her like poor, untidy old men with bad teeth. But as time went on and they began to talk, they made her think of the men that she used to see sitting on the bridge at Enniscorthy. Then, when they turned to thank her and their faces grew soft, they began to seem more like her father and her uncles in the way that they spoke or smiled. Before the men were served their pudding, Father Flood made Eilish and the other helpers sit down to eat their own hot dinner. By the late afternoon, the hall was full of cigarette smoke, and a couple of men had taken out violins and started to play music. Then an old man got up to sing and called Eilish to stand by him. He took her hand and began to sing a love song in Irish, in a voice so loud and strong that he did not seem like an old man at all. The women made pots of tea, and there was Christmas cake, while more men got up to sing. After the music ended, most of the men put on their coats, wished Father Flood, Eilish and the other helpers a happy Christmas, and went out into the night. When the hall was almost empty, Father Flood thanked Eilish and said that she could go home. She shook hands with the other women and promised Father Flood that she was not at all afraid of walking home alone. She went straight to her room without seeing any of the other lodgers. Then she lay on the bed and went over everything that had happened before falling asleep.